Our gospel this morning comes from the gospel according to Matthew, chapter 12. Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself will be ruined, and every city or household divided against itself will not stand. Whoever is not with me is against me. Whoever does not gather with me scatters. Make a tree good, and its fruit will be good. Or make a tree bad, and its fruit will be bad. For a tree is recognized by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. But I tell you that everyone will have to give account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned." Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. This morning we conclude the first half of our series of messages entitled "The Power of Words." And my hope is that over the course of the last 4 weeks, or 3 weeks plus today, that you've been memorizing this verse from Ephesians. So I'm going to read it, and if you think you've got it memorized, you go ahead and say it along with me. "Let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only what is useful for building up as there is need, so that your words may give grace to those who hear." This is our theme because we're really looking at how our words impact others. Last week, we talked about the words in politics, and thank you all for coming back to church this morning. The week before that, we talked about our words, and particularly our words with reference to God, and God's spoken word that is both creative and saving. And the week before that, we began our discussion of the power of words. This Sunday, I'd like to really examine the power of words when it comes to families and family systems. And I'd like to start with this analogy, of which I have a few this morning. This analogy. When I was teaching science in Pequot Lakes, one of the things that I was in charge of every year was the science fair. How many of you did a science fair project? Okay, and every year there were at least three kids, maybe four, that wanted to do an experiment with plants. And they were like, "Mr. Blank, I want to do this experiment where I take one plant and I like feed it really healthy stuff, and the other plant, I'm going to put Coke on it and see how it survives. Or I'm going to pour vinegar on it and see what it does. Or I'm going to put it in the closet for a week." And I'm like, we all know what's going to happen, right? I like this analogy because I think this analogy is a good analogy for families. See, if you think of these plants as families, the plant on the left has been given sunlight, God's grace, but it's also been given water. And if you think of our words as the words that in James last week, James talked about fresh water coming out of the well. Fresh water, these words of encouragement that build up, that give grace to the hearers. That's this plant on the left. But the right side is a family where they're getting sunlight, perhaps, but unfortunately, they're not getting that life-giving word, those words of encouragement, those words that build up, those words that strengthen, those words that give grace. And, you know, there are lots of ways to kill a plant. One way is to, you know, dump a lot of Coca-Cola on it or vinegar or salt water. That was another favorite. But, you know, the fastest way to kill a plant, you've probably done this if you're a gardener, at least. You go out and buy some Roundup, right? What's interesting to me about Roundup is that it's a really good analogy for what's going on here on the right, too. Because the way that Roundup works, I discovered this as a science teacher. The way that Roundup works is that it actually blocks a particular enzyme that builds a protein that produces roots, produces and maintains the roots of the plant. And so the plant is actually being killed from the inside out. It's not allowed to take in that life-giving water. And I think sometimes families that don't hear the word are being fed Roundup, where sadly, it's like they're dying from the inside out. And you might have come from a family system like that. You might know one. You might know one down the street, or maybe someone sort of connected with your own family in an extended way lives in that sort of situation. And what I'd like to do this morning is I'd like to talk about maybe some remedies for that, and maybe some ways that we can help to change lives so that they look like the plant on the left and not the plant on the right. Now, here's my little disclaimer. I'm not sort of a family therapist, so I'm not like somebody that is trained in family therapy. What I do want to do is sort of share these analogies with you and connect them with God's Word and see if there's something that we can learn from that. Well, one way that I think that this analogy applies is in words that cut down. You know, families, sometimes we say things within our families that we would never think of saying to a friend. And, you know, Michelle and I talk about that with each other. Sometimes the tone of voice that we use or the words that we use with each other, even though we love each other, we know we love each other, sometimes in those tense moments, you know, you just say things within your family that you'd never think of saying to someone else. How many people know what I'm talking about? Yeah. And those words are so often those words that start to cut off that enzyme, that grow the root, that take in the water. And sometimes they can be just little things. I know amongst my cousins, we used to laugh about this, but I think my grandma had a point. There for a while in probably the early 1980s, late 1970s, the big thing is that we would call each other pigs, you know, and my grandma put her foot down and she said, nobody's going to use that word in my house. And so we would say this to each other. We'd say, you P word. You know, maybe that's little and silly, but it arrives at a bigger point, right? It's like the child who's called dummy all the while they're growing up, and they learn eventually to think of themselves as not very smart because that's the word that dad used. And you know, I as a dad, I have to be careful about this kind of thing because sometimes it's easy to say things like, "What were you thinking?" Right? But what comes next is really vitally important. It's how am I going to build up? How am I going to show grace while getting my point across at the same time? You know, Jesus says in this morning's gospel reading that a house divided against itself won't stand. You think about your own family houses. If you're divided against yourself, you won't stand. You're not going to be able to face the onslaught of the world on a daily basis if inside of that family system the corrosion is going on every day. And Jesus also says that what we say matters. Our words, he says in our gospel reading this morning, have eternal consequences. Let no evil talk come out of your mouths. Paul is talking in our epistle this morning, and Tina, if you could just go back to our epistle reading, which I just thought Carla read that beautifully this morning. Look at these words and look at how Paul starts it. But now you must also rid yourselves of all such things. He's talking to Christians here. You know, he's talking to the church at Colossae. And the reason that he's writing this letter back to the Colossians is because they're doing this stuff. Because he's heard that members of the church are angry with each other, that there's rage within the community, that there's malice. You know, people are cutting each other down on purpose, that there's slander. People are saying things that aren't true about each other in a malicious way, that there's filthy language coming out of their lips. So, you know, we have this evidence from the New Testament that, you know, this stuff applies to us as Christians, and this is a problem that we have even when We know Jesus Christ is our Savior. It's not something that just sort of disappears when we speak the name of Jesus as our Savior or when we're baptized into the church. It's still there. It's still there that we have to deal with it. And Paul says, put this stuff away. Put on the new self. Martin Luther talked about how every morning we have to put the old Adam to death so that the new man can rise anew. The new man, the new woman, the new creature in Christ. The reading that we had, I mentioned that already. Maybe in your home, though, the problem isn't this picture, the picture of the two plants. Maybe it's this. These are two six different ears of corn. The three on the left are, they're all from Kansas. The three on the left are from a field that's been watered. How many of you have seen those big rotating irrigation systems so you get the pancake fields out there? The three on the left are from a field of corn that's been watered. And the ones on the right are from a field of corn that didn't have an irrigation system. And as many of you know, lots of the United States has been in a drought for a long period of time, particularly California. California, though, this winter finally come out of a drought. They've got an excess snow cap now, and there's flooding and mudslides and all over the place. But this is a result of that sort of drought. And so I'd like you to also think of this idea of life-giving words having to do not just with words that could kill, but the absence of words that give grace, the absence of words that build up. I like to think in this case about Ole and Lena. Now, Ole and Lena had been married for 27 years, and Lena was kind of getting worried that maybe Ole was maybe seeing some other girls on the side. And Lena said to Ole, "You know, you never tell me that you love me. Is there someone else?" Ole said, "Oh, Lena, what you talking about? When you got married, I told you I loved you, and if that ever changes, I'll let you know." You know, I think that we have that sometimes within our family systems. Maybe not quite to that degree. 37 years is a long time. But if within your family you never hear or express words of grace, words of comfort, words of hope, then you're like those little shriveled ears of corn on the right. You know, it's not that you're not growing. Those ears of corn grew. It's not that you're not alive because you're alive. But you're not living up to what in our confession this morning we read, which was from the message. It was when I gave you the absolution. In some translations it says, "He's come to give you life, life more," remember the word, "abundantly." So the idea of living and being in a life where you're living it to its fullest isn't happening because those words aren't being said. Some people spend their whole life trying to get those accolades or words of affirmation that they didn't get growing up. And part of the Christian gospel is that even when you grew up with a deficit of love, there is a God who knows you by name and who loves you. And, you know, we've talked about families, and I'm sure you've all automatically thought of either your birth family, the family that you were born into or adopted into, or you've thought about the family that was the family that you raised, perhaps. But, you know, in the Bible, there's three different images that we get all the time for who we are. One of them is that we're the body of Christ. One of them is that we're koinonia, we're a community of believers. But the third image that we get is that we're a family. Most often, Paul addresses members of the church as brother and sister. Most often, in our relationship with God, we're called children of God, right? Jesus is referred to as the eldest son, and we're his brothers and sisters. We see this image of family. So if you grew up in a family where you didn't get those words of affirmation and you're feeling like, oh, I need those, here's where you can get them. Right here. Here's your family. And if you are someone who hasn't been comfortable giving out those words of affirmation, here's a group of people you can practice with. I love you. Hey, that's an awesome looking jacket you're wearing today. You look great. How can I pray for you? It's so nice to see you today. It's good that you're here. Can I share a seat next to you? Can I sit next to you and as we share the soup? Those are all words of affirmation. They build people up. They show grace. In the Proverbs this morning, if you could go back to Proverbs, I just want to point one thing out. I read this three times, and then I realized that verse 7, you'll notice in your bulletin that it didn't include verse 7, but I added verse 7 back in because I thought it was vitally important. That's the second sentence up there. The name of the righteous is used in blessings, but the name of the wicked will rot. And I thought about that, and I was thinking, actually I was thinking about a friend that I went to high school with, and this friend had a father who was really pretty much absent, and when he wasn't absent, he was abusive, and just a really not very good relationship. And after his father passed away, he still carried that around with him. He still carried that around with him. And eventually he had to go to his father's graveside and have a conversation and let it go. But I think what this second verse is talking about is that sort of thing. You know, if you are someone who is giving out words that are words of grace, that words that build up in your family, words that people cherish later, you're going to be that person whose name is used in blessings. You're going to be remembered. I think of my grandpa, who was like 6'5" and probably almost 300 pounds, and he drove around a little blue Volkswagen Beetle. And I remember one, I don't even remember what it was, but I was the only boy amongst a bunch of girl cousins until my younger cousin Jerry and then my brother were born, but they're all girls. And one day, I don't remember exactly what happened, but the girls got something and I felt left out. And my grandpa said to me, "Hey, buddy, do you want to go get some ice cream?" And just the two of us climbed in his little blue Volkswagen Beetle and we went and got some ice cream. I remember those words. He died when I was 6. I remember his words. Those words that affirmed that I was valuable to him because he was thinking about me. He cared about me. His name is the name that I would use in blessings. But see, look what happens when you don't give out those words of affirmation. Eventually, your name fades away. It rots. It's not there anymore. Your descendants want to block it out because it wasn't something that healed and lifted up and gave growth and grace. So, I want to ask you this question. Are you sharing words of grace in your family? Do the people around you feel small, or do they feel special because of the words that you share? And I want to encourage you to start speaking those words of grace to each other. Now, if that's to your husband or your wife, you're going to shock them. Great! They're going to say, "What's going on?" And that's awesome. If it's to your children, they're going to feel lifted up. If it's to your parents, They're suddenly going to feel valued again. You know, we go in this kind of funny cycle, right, with kids. I remember when I was little, my dad was the most amazing man in the world. And he was a Marine. And he told me that, and that was so cool. And he had that chest in the garage with all of his uniforms and stuff from the Marine Corps. And he was just so awesome. And then somehow in high school, he was like the meanest guy I'd ever known. And he'd changed, you know? Like, and he didn't even know what he was talking about half of the time. And then I got into college, and he started to seem a little bit smarter again. And man, he got so smart by the time I graduated from college. He was like one of the most intelligent guys I knew. Those cycles happen. And one of the things that I know happens is that when your kids get to be adults, it's easy for parents to think that your words don't matter anymore. But they do. They do matter. So if you have adult children, even if you haven't talked to them for a while, even if there have been things that have been sort of tough within your past, call them up. Share words of encouragement. And it doesn't have to be hard. How you doing? Love you. Just thinking about you today, wondering what's going on. Those sorts of words can lift up and build up. And you're that name that's used in blessing. Which leads us, I think, to these three things. I want to encourage you to use these three phrases over the course of the next week that build up in your families. The first one, of course, is I love you. Now, I love you is easy. Sometimes within our family, we use it like this. If I'm like really like not wanting to do something, and Michelle says, could you do this, please? And I say, well, but I was going to, she'll say, I love you. And then, okay. Okay, oh, here's the way I want you to use it, though, this week. I want you to add the word because, okay? Because sometimes we use it kind of as a throwaway, right? Love you. But here's what I want you to do. I want you to add this because. I love you because you listen to me. I love you because you're just really sweet. I love you, whatever it is. Add that because that makes it sound a little bit more meaningful. And it's a way that you can build up. Second, I'm sorry. This one's a hard one for me because, you know, you get in these sort of roundabout things and you feel like you're right and the other person's wrong and they should be the ones to say I'm sorry first. Well, remember, apologies aren't necessary for forgiveness. Jesus hung on a cross, and what did he ask God to do? Forgive. The Roman soldiers hadn't said, I'm sorry yet. The members of the Sanhedrin standing over there on the hill watching the crucifixion, they hadn't said, I'm sorry. Nobody'd said, I'm sorry. But Jesus still asked for them to be forgiven. And that's something, it's hard for us to remember that. Because we expect that someone else is going to say, I'm sorry first. I'm asking you that if there's something in your life this week that is causing a rift between you and a sister or a brother, whether in the church or in your own family or within your nuclear family, to say I'm sorry first. And then the last one, I forgive you. Last one, I forgive you. And like we've said, forgiveness doesn't necessarily depend on I'm sorry. Look at what Paul says in the epistle again. Tina, if we could go back to that epistle lesson. And right, next one, next screen. He says here, forgive. This is at the end of the first paragraph. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Well, how did the Lord forgive you? Not because you said you were sorry. Not because you worked at it hard enough. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, freely, with grace. And over all these virtues, put on love. Forgive as God forgave you. You might think, well, you know, yeah, but you know, that's not the way that I want to forgive. He needs to learn a lesson, or I'm not about to let her off so easily, or he needs to learn that actions have consequences, or if I forgave, I would be condoning sin, or whatever it is. I'm asking you to just forgive. forgive this week. Use those words. I'll show you a little analogy of that. If I could have Elijah and Sophia come up for a second. So I've got a Duluth pack here. Actually, this is a Duluth pack my grandma gave me when I was a senior in high school. She gave all of her grandkids luggage, and I asked for a Duluth pack. So this is the Duluth pack she gave me. It's full of rocks. I'm going to ask Elijah to put it on. Is it kind of heavy? Okay. And I want you to all think this morning of the words that you give to a member of your family, whether it's in your family of origin or your nuclear family that you're in now, or maybe the family that you see seated around you, the words that are brackish, the words that are the Roundup, the salt water, the Coca-Cola and the vinegar, that is eventually going to kill the plant, being like these rocks. And so I'm going to give this rock to Sophia, and as Elijah's sister, she's going to give him a rock that doesn't build him up. Okay, and she's going to keep giving him those rocks. This is a bad thing. She gives him these rocks that weigh him down. Right? How's it feeling, Elijah? So as she gives these evil words to her brother, and they weigh him down, and they just hurt, right? How's it feeling, Elijah? A little bit heavier. Sophia's going to stop now. Now, Elijah has a choice, right? That one more rock. Elijah has a choice. He can carry this around. Go down the aisle and carry that around with him. He can think about how nasty his sister has been to him, and how much those words hurt, and how awful those words were, and how it's just going to weigh him down forever. But he could also forgive, right? Now, I hope that Sophia used these words first. I would hope that she would use those words first, but maybe she doesn't. See, it doesn't matter whether she says, I'm sorry. Is she weighed down by a backpack? No, she gave out the words, but it's not really affecting her, right? Now, probably it is affecting her, but in my little analogy right now, it isn't. What else could Elijah do, though, besides walk around with this backpack? He could take it off. He could say, I forgive you, Sophia. Now he's free. I want you to think about that with I forgive you. Because I forgive you are words that not only show grace to the hearer, but give you grace as well. All right. Let's turn today to, if you have this little card, you could follow along on this card. But I've also got it up on the screen. I'd like us to take a look at the words from Psalm 19:14 as our prayer together today. Forgiveness, you see, opens up a way forward. It opens up grace for our life together. So this morning, I'd like to just pray that if you have unresolved hurts in your family, I want to encourage you to forgive and ask for forgiveness. It might not be easy, but we bear the name of Jesus Christ. Whatever we do, whatever we say, Paul says, do it and say it in his name. Let's bow our heads and pray. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen.